WSJ Special Access gives you a front row seat to some of the Wall Street Journal's most exciting content, including exclusive live events and interviews with top executives and newsmakers, only for subscribers and only on Spotify.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Wednesday, July 5th. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Elon Musk has made a lot of changes to Twitter since taking over, but limiting how many posts users can see may be one of the most controversial yet. Our reporter Tim Higgins joins us to talk about what's behind the move and how it fits into a bigger trend. Plus, ever lose just one AirPod? Apple's wireless headphones can be easy to misplace, but WSJ personal tech reporter Anne-Marie Alcantara will tell us about the free way some people are replacing them. We'll start, though, with those changes to Twitter. As we told you earlier in the week, owner Elon Musk said the company was temporarily limiting how many posts users could see in a day. It started at just 600 posts for unverified accounts and 6,000 for subscribers. But Musk has since announced multiple increases to those numbers. Now, typically, social media companies want as many users as possible to be on the platform as much as possible. But Musk said the move was needed to combat companies that develop artificial intelligence programs from scraping data off of Twitter. Reporter Tim Higgins wrote about this and joins me now. Tim, thanks for being here.
Thank you. Bad day for doom scrolling.
Yes. No more everlasting scrolling. How have users been affected since these changes went into place?
Yeah, it's one of those things where before he went out there and said what was going on, you started to see on Twitter people complaining about problems. The term rate limit exceeded was trending. Third-party sites such as Down Detector were finding that thousands of people were reporting outages. And it flowed from issues that were occurring earlier in the week when users were finding that they needed to be logged in to the website to see posts, which isn't normally the case.
What's the risk for Twitter in limiting how many posts users can see in a day?
Social media companies in general would like you to spend as many minutes, hours, and days on their platforms as possible. They are selling essentially access to users' eyeballs to these advertisers who are coming onto the site to peddle their wares. And if you're limiting how much access you have to the user, then are you reaching as many, or does the user start to develop a habit of going someplace else?
Musk said he had to stop what he called, quote, extreme levels of data scraping by artificial intelligence companies. Why would AI companies do something like that on Twitter?
Well, social media platforms can be a rich trove for these large language models that power AI chatbots, because they can contain just enormous volumes of the types of verbal exchanges those systems are trying to learn. It's almost going to school for the AI robot. And other social media platforms have also talked about and instituted new policies to try to deal with this rise of data-hungry AI companies. We've seen a big blowback at Reddit, where they have been instituting some changes, including starting to charge some third-party developers to obtain its data. And they say that it's necessary to do these things to be a self-sustaining business, that they can no longer just subsidize commercial entities that require this large-scale data use. And that's been controversial. Some of their users are unhappy about that. It's part of kind of a broader war between these social media companies and how kind of these upstarts in the AI world are trying to get their businesses going, get their sea legs, if you will.
I want to pivot a little bit. This announcement was made by Elon Musk, but he officially gave the role of CEO to Linda Yaccarino last month. So who's running Twitter and making these decisions now?
Well, Linda is the CEO, but make no mistake, Elon Musk is the boss. He is still overseeing the engineering and the product development and these sorts of things. And she is, in a lot of ways, handling the stuff that he doesn't necessarily like or enjoy, whether it's advertising or the day-to-day kind of business operations. So this sort of issue seems to be straight in Elon Musk's swim lane, if you will. It's the kind of thing that you're really not surprised to see him be involved with, given it just the technical nature of it. And also just his level of commentary on it via his Twitter account in recent days. I mean, he's very vocal on it. He has been vocal about this kind of issue really since taking over Twitter, as he kind of gets into the weeds about how the company is operating. This is one of the things that's really egged him on, the idea that there are third parties out there who are capturing his user data in a way that's helping them create new businesses. And, you know, you kind of get the sense that he either wants a taste of it, wants to be able to profit on it too, or he also doesn't think it's fair that they are, in a way, forcing him to spend money on server capacity to accommodate them and their kind of efforts.
All right, that's our reporter, Tim Higgins. And there may be more concerns on the horizon for Twitter. Its competitor, Meta, plans to launch its own microblogging site called Threads. Meta is expected to build the platform off its Instagram user data, a strategic move that people familiar with the matter said could help the app quickly gain users. Mineral-rich developing nations are looking for a bigger share of the expected electric vehicle boom. Countries in Latin America, Africa, and Asia have vast deposits of materials like nickel, lithium, and cobalt, essential ingredients to building EVs. Now governments in these nations are embracing what's known as resource nationalism, restricting the exports of raw materials and demanding that miners build processing plants locally, while also tightening controls on foreign-operated mines. Our reporter John Emont has more on how this is playing out.
Yeah, so Indonesia's a very fascinating case of this. It's this huge country with a lot of minerals that are needed for the EV transition, namely nickel. So starting in 2020, the government actually banned the export of raw nickel as a way to encourage foreign companies to set up smelters and other processing facilities in country. And that's been enormously successful in that they really have gotten a lot of the smelting in country, which has allowed them to export a lot more higher value, already processed nickel. And Indonesia hopes that this is just part of a broader process where they will continue to industrialize and eventually start building batteries and electric vehicles themselves. There are many other countries adopting different policies around the world. So Zimbabwe, which has a lot of lithium resources, has actually attempted similar and recently banned the export of raw lithium. In Latin America, there are a lot of leftist leaders that are also trying to make sure that they get the most out of their lithium reserves, and that involves strategies that are similar to nationalization or that involve making sure that state-owned miners play a larger role in the extraction of these resources.
Coming up, losing one AirPod can be disheartening and costly. But a free way to replace it can come with some drawbacks, too. We'll explain when we come back.
This podcast is brought to you by the Kellogg School of Management. Getting to the next level of your career requires a next-level education. At Kellogg, you'll choose from full-time, part-time, or executive MBA programs where you'll gain the Wall Street edge you need to compete for the most coveted jobs. For more details, visit kell.gg/leader. That's kell.gg/LEADER.
Since its release almost 7 years ago, Apple's AirPods are practically everywhere. But unlike their wired predecessor, Apple's AirPods are, for obvious reasons, much easier to lose. And replacing a single AirPod can cost as much as $89, depending on the model. But for those who lose just one, Buy Nothing groups on Facebook and other social media sites have become a way to replace them. Our personal tech reporter Anne-Marie Alcantara has been looking into how this works. Anne-Marie, you wrote that losing an AirPod has become almost a rite of passage for people who have them, and that replacing them has become a kind of sport. Can you tell us a bit about that? What has brought this on?
So for anyone who's worn an AirPod in their ears, you know how difficult it can be to keep them in your ears. And so for people, you know, who lose their AirPods, they are trying to figure out a way to get a replacement without having to buy a whole new set or buy a replacement pod. And so for my story, a lot of people are going to like a buy nothing group and asking their neighbors, hey, does anyone have a singular AirPod? And people come up and say, yes, or I found one. Here's one. Go give it a try. And it's become one way that people have figured out to replace the AirPod situation.
Are there any challenges if you get a free new AirPod to pairing it with your other existing one?
There are several, as I've encountered in my story, and that hopefully maybe none of our readers encounter in the future. But you can get an AirPod that's a different generation in a different model. So you can put it into the case and then a little notification will pop up and let you know that the AirPods do not match. And so you can't use them together. Other people experienced battery replacement issues. So like one AirPod was newer than the other. So like one AirPod would die sooner than the other. So they had a complete pair, but they would need to charge it a lot more than they thought they would. And then another person also explained that they got an AirPod from someone in a buy nothing group, but then it turned out that AirPod was reported lost by the original owner. And so while the person could use it, every few like minutes, a notification would come up and tell her like that the AirPod was lost and that this person could in theory like track their location and see where they are. So she ended up getting rid of them. So there's a whole slew of issues that could come up when you do replace your AirPod this way.
It seems like there would be a lot of trash if people had to throw out their one remaining AirPod.
So by using a buy nothing group, a lot of these people are helping the environment as well. You know, you're keeping one AirPod out of the e-waste stream because these AirPods are very difficult to recycle and reuse. One person I spoke to at a nonprofit that recycles and refurbishes electronics, you know, mentioned how it's very difficult to recycle these AirPods because of the way their design and their batteries are embedded. So buy nothing groups help a little bit in terms of keeping the AirPods out of the e-waste stream.
That's our personal tech reporter, Anne-Marie Alcantara. And that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. If you want more tech stories, check out our website, wsj.com. And if you like our show, please rate and review it. You can do that wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.